Peace and love. Peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out.
Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Good Things Radio. My name is Brooke Taylor, a housewife who has not figured it out. This is episode number 153. Welcome to the show. And right out of the gate, I want to say a big hello to the beautiful ladies in Leroy, New York from Our Lady of Mercy Parish. I was blessed to visit this weekend, actually just fresh off the road into the studio chair, giving talks at a women's retreat this weekend. And it was a delight. It's a town, I believe, not too far from Rochester, New York, and really quaint. I had breakfast at the No Finer Diner. I heard there's an Italian restaurant called Capiche. I mean, how cool can you get? So it was in the church was 150 years old, I understand. It just was breathtaking. So in every way, super blessed to be a part of that community this weekend. So thank you to Patty and all the ladies in Leroy. God bless you. And back in the saddle on today's show, an interview, speaking of charming, with Malia Ullery. She's the creator of a brand new app for kids. And if you are oversaturated by cyberspace and all things device and digital, have no fear. This is one of those shining jewels, like sparkling in the muck, that you're going to want to brush off and hold up. It is so cool. So this app has been years in the making. And if you have children, grandchildren, especially younger, this is something you're definitely going to want to download and use. It's called the Little Saint Adventures app, and Malia is going to tell us all about it on today's show. Also on the program, making the case for slowing down. I just saw a survey that says adults, the average adult, spends 23 minutes a day to finish breakfast, lunch, and dinner combined. And I can relate to that because in a time where I've got multiple things happening and little ones, I just usually am eating on the go. And even when we're gathered and sitting at the dinner table, I'm sure it might be only 10 minutes before we're on to the next thing. And so there's a phrase called time poverty, and it encompasses all of our days, not just our eating time, but how are we spending time? And specifically from a spiritual perspective, are we too busy for God? So we're going to unpack this article asking the question, why is everyone so busy? And what we can do about it. That's all coming up.
I got a praise report I can hold and gotta tell the world about his grace and mercy. Praise report. Praise report. Tell of his goodness.
Big, big, big happy dance. Really. Palms raised, arms up, celebrating. It is a praise report as I share with you one of the most exciting projects that I have ever had the opportunity to be a part of. And it's for you. So I cannot wait. I can't wait for you to see it. It is the book, Choose Hope. I've been talking about it for a few months now and working on it every day, about 7 days a week. And the sequel, the follow-up to the book, Choose Joy, a 52-week devotional, is now officially in print. So it's called Choose Hope, and last week the manuscript was officially submitted to the printer, and we have liftoff. So that is the exciting part. We are in the works. And in the next weeks, you're going to be getting a sneak peek. I'm going to take you inside. We have, again, over 50 contributing writers from prominent names that you might recognize, like Sherry Keggy, the Dove Award-winning artist, Brother Richard, a fantastic writer in Ireland who's also a monk, Father Nathan Cromley, Jeff Cavins, Lisa Hendy, and my friend Linda Isaiah, and so many more. So we're going to give you not only a sneak peek in terms of the content, but the writers, and inviting special guests on the program that I think you're really going to like. I'm also getting questions about pre-orders, which is exciting. So we're going to start rolling out information about that as well. But officially, the target date to release the book before Advent, which is December 2nd, is on track. So that is a big deal. And just rejoicing, praising every step of the way. An amazing team all brought this together. So it's exciting to be able to finally be at this point to give it to you. So continued prayers and stay tuned. Welcome. welcome our guest on today's program, the creator of the Little Saint Adventures app, a few years in the making. So I know there's a story there. Can't wait to talk about that. Also, the parent portal, and we'll get to that. She is originally from Houston and graduated from Franciscan University with degrees in catechetics, theology, spent 10 years teaching theology, and also serving with the Franciscan Youth Conferences and LEAD programs, and now is in Boise, Idaho with her family, husband, and children. And also what we're going to talk about, the developer of the app, the Little Saint Adventures, as well as helping train catechists for the Diocese of Boise. And with us today, Malia Ullery. Welcome, Malia.
Thank you so much for having me, Brooke. It's great to be here with you.
So happy to shine a spotlight on this app because you know what? I feel like me, I know so many others probably sharing this, like somebody should come up with an app like this, but I'm not going to do it. And you did it.
So, we did it.
Yay. That deserves applause. Thank you. Thank you. Tell us about this beautiful app and I guess the age. Who is it for, the Little Saints Adventures app?
So I work for a Catholic marketing company and we build apps and websites, and you know, all of us are Catholic and have Catholic families, and we really just saw a need. We live in a technological world, and I hate when my kids want to play something on my phone and there's like, what do I want them to spend time on for that 5 minutes I need for dinner? You know what I mean? And so my boss said, we're a technology company. He has six kids himself. And so he said, hey, let's build this. And I said, okay, let's build this. So it really came from this need. We're geared at pre-K through second grade, kind of those first early years. And so we wanted there to be lots of fun colors, engaging stories, things like that for kids in that age group.
Well, it really is. I think, first of all, you notice how high quality this app is. When I heard about it, went to the website, then downloaded the apps, the characters are so warm. It's like a cartoon world. And maybe you could set the tone. How does it work? Because I know it's not just you click on the app, you see a saint. Okay, I'm done with that. It's engaging. There's puzzles. There's all sorts of things.
Right. And so from my time in California, we spent a lot of time at Disneyland. And so we kind of envisioned like these different lands where they could learn about different catechetical topics. And so we divided it into eight. We're just finishing production on our eighth world. Each one taught by a saint with a different catechetical theme. So Francis teaches about creation. Who better to teach about the Holy Family than John the Baptist from the point of view of Jesus's cousin? So we really tried to bring it alive through kind of these natural connections of the saints. And so they get to progress through these different lands to learn the different really key components of our faith.
That is really, I mean, it kind of reminded me of Dante in the Divine Comedy, although that's a very different tone. I mean, but this is fun because it is appealing. I mean, you think of Fortnite, that crazy game taking the world by storm, but that scaffolding, you know, kind of that outline is there where you've got the different worlds, its incentives, but also you're depositing these beautiful truths along the way. And
Oh, sorry. Well, we wanted it to feel like, you know, because my daughter has, you know, for her school, she has reading apps and math things. We wanted it to have that quality and that feel of something that's familiar to them. And so we thought the progressing through the different lands was something that they would identify with and would make sense and would, you know, appeal to them. I know my best friend's son is, I think, our number one fan, and he'll regularly FaceTime me and say, Auntie Malia, when is a new world coming out? Because he just wants to get to the next level and he wants to keep playing. And
awesome.
It's wonderful.
Oh, what you're doing is so needed. It's so awesome. And the saints you've chosen, how does that work? Were you kind of storyboarding it out and saying, we're going to pick these all-star saints, or is it based on feedback that you receive, and how many are there? And I guess, how did you make that decision?
Yeah. So, what happened was we took, the curriculum we wanted to teach, and I am a very organized person, so I had probably like 5,000 multicolored sticky notes with each with a different curriculum point, and I was deciding which ones to include in which worlds. And as the catechetical themes kind of emerged, I thought about what saints could go with them. You know, creation is obviously Francis, Franciscan University, like shout out. And then we thought about it like a story, like who could tell the stories of Jesus's childhood, you know, John the Baptist, and then who would be the one to teach about Jesus's ministry, like Peter. You know, so some of them were kind of more natural. We wanted to highlight, you know, great women saints. We have Saint Faustina, who helps teach about the parish with John Paul II. They kind of tag team in prayer. Like we talked about Teresa of Avila and the idea of her castle. And so actually that world, like, it's you're in a castle, like with Teresa of Avila. And so like little theology nerd hearts like mine, you know, hope to get some of those little connections that we really tried to make to catechize parents as well as kids, because that's so important.
We'll talk about the parent portal, because I know that's an additional companion app that you can get the child's progress as well, right? And find out how our kids are doing on the app.
Right. And so, well, it's that, and it's so much more, because as parents, obviously we want to be aware and know what our kids are doing, you know, with technology, because it's a scary world out there. And so we kind of, first we imagined the games and the apps, but then as I was thinking about it and, you know, praying over this every day, it's like, I know that we can't just teach the kids. I know that it can't just live for that, you know, 15 minutes in the app, and then there's nothing else. There's no follow-up. So we came up with this idea for the parent portal, where it first sends notifications to the parents about what their kids are completing. So it'll say, Johnny just finished the creation story, or Sally just finished the, you know, 7-day miracle, or whatever it is. So they know what their kids are doing, but then what it does is then it connects them to related conversation starters. So like you're in the carpool line, I imagine people just clicking on it like, oh, it says you just did this game. And then here's this natural question that flows from it. There's 5, 10, 30 minute activities that they can do with downloads and supply lists, you know, for simple crafty things to keep that conversation going outside of the app. And then there's also parent resources. If, you know, they're learning about original sin and the parent is saying, I don't know how to talk to my child about original sin because I don't know about it or why. So we give them some podcasts, some books, some resources, links, blogs, to where parents can be educated so then they can be confident in having those conversations with their kids to help the parents be the primary catechists of their children.
You know, I love that so much. I had an opportunity to interview a Christian music artist, and we were talking about this recently, and he's at a church that is very wealthy. And he said what he's finding is that the parents will send the kids to Sunday school or youth group, and they themselves are not really engaged, or they'll just pay other people, you know, to do whatever. But I think that it kind of force it, you know, because this is an interest that we have. We want to make sure that our kids are safe online. We want to know what they're doing, what they're learning. And so what an awesome way to engage them and to teach, to catechize the parents, like you said, because our faith is so rich and deep. It doesn't matter if we have a theology degree, we can all continue to learn. And so it's an awesome idea. And in going back in, I was just checking the app because I have my son Gus there, but that you can add, I love that you can add more kids and you can also pick their avatar, which is fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, that's something they're familiar with from other games. And we wanted to be able to add different kids because, you know, like I earned those stars. I don't want my brother or sister to get those. You know, they each can log their own individual activities. And then on the parent portal side, you can check the activities of each of your children separately as well, because that's important as also.
Yeah.
And plus, you know, families, we want it to be a part of your family. So multiple kids can be playing at the same time.
It actually reminds me, I don't know if you remember this computer game. It was called Pajama Sam. Have you heard of that?
The name is familiar, but I don't remember particularly.
Well, I mean, it feels like it's ancient because it was actually like on a PC. I don't remember if it was a floppy disk or what, but you had to like put it in there. And then there was like different worlds or levels, I guess, for Pajama Sam. And but I have such, and I played, I was a babysitter, and so I would play with the kids. So this was maybe like 25 years ago. I still today remember it. When you hear Pajama Sam, it's kind of like your favorite Barney or Teletubbies or the things that we grew up having really fond, endearing memories with. And I do think that the future is, you know, fortunately or unfortunately, it's these apps. They're not sitting down and putting like a VHS tape in of Barney, or they're not necessarily doing, well, they're not for sure doing the floppy disk, but so it is the app, and it's such a beautiful idea. And in any final takeaways that you want to share, because I love the fact that what you're teaching is truth, but it's wrapped in, you know, such an engaging way in just that Disney aspect. I see that you have a free trial, but then there's also the membership that comes with a ton of stuff.
Right. So we wanted people to really get a feel for the app. So the first world is free, the Francis Forest. And then with purchasing a subscription, you get all of the additional worlds after Francis's Forest. So Nazareth Village, Sailing in Galilee, My Parish Family, Shamrock Isle, and with St. Patrick teaching about the Trinity. So it really is just this thing that continues to grow. We actually have a new world coming out, hopefully next week, depending upon Apple and their approval process. But we have a new world, St. Michael's Battlefield, coming
that
out.
That looks awesome.
Talking about the communion of saints, the beauty of prayer, things like that. So it's a really great one. I know, like, a shout out to my best friend's son, Hunter. He's going to love one of, there's a shooting game where you get to, a la like Angry Birds, and you get to shoot swords at dragons who are flying by, like St. Michael.
This is the best thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. And I particularly made that game for Hunter because I was like, what do little first grade and second grade boys want to do? I was like, they want to shoot swords at dragons. I was like, yes. This is happening.
That, you know, it's so funny because as a mom of boys, mostly boys, and our daughter, that was one of the things in the early years, my kids, most of them are older now, is that they would have friends come over and they would just take their shirts off and get their lightsabers out, and it would be either between the lightsabers and the Nerf guns, and that would be all they needed for an afternoon and maybe a hot dog, and they're happy. And so I do think you are engaging, you know, it's the chivalry too. It's the biblical chivalry. So I love that. So that's coming soon, you said, in the next week or two?
Yes, in the next week or two. So if you get a subscription, like as soon as that comes out, it'll get sent right to your updates and you can have at it.
What is your hope for this app? As you pray and kind of dream, what is your goal?
Oh gosh, my hope is that, and I guess, you know, obviously I've spent so many years in catechetics and ministry, but my hope is that this would give parents, like my deep like love is for the parent portal in a special way, because I want parents to be engaged with their kids about the faith, to be have the tools to be feel successful, to learn their own faith more, and to learn faith with their kids, to build strong families. That's what I want for this app, to create, to kind of build that bridge and bring them together to love and enjoy our faith together.
That's a beautiful wish, and I think the way you're doing it is just right. So thank you so much for the app. Does the app have a website?
Yes, it's littlesaintadventures.com. We also have a Facebook page. We have Instagram, I'm sure. But just by helping us, you can share our posts on Facebook, help people learn about it. We're also starting, you can get group subscriptions for your school, for your parish, things like that. Just helping us spread the word, tell your friends.
So hold the phone. This is for educators too. This could be, this is great. Yeah, because you've got the curriculum. So this could be, so you're saying a school could purchase this and then the students get it free, or explain how that would work.
So it wouldn't be a replacement for a religion curriculum, but it would be a supplement.
Yeah.
So
math class has, you know, Spelling City for spelling or something, you're saying.
Right. Exactly. So it would be a fun, just reinforcement activity, because it's all curriculum based. I know I was talking with Mark Hart, the Bible geek, about this probably about 6 months ago. And he was, you know, because I've known him for a long time. And he's like, oh, yeah, Malia, like, that sounds cool. But then after he went home and he really went through it, he goes, wait, like, this is legit, Malia. Like, you learn things. I was like, yeah, you really do. So yeah, it's definitely, it can be a resource for schools. Or I know I'm talking with the diocese here in Boise, because so many of our parishes in Idaho are rural, and it's hard for kids to get to RE classes and things like that. So this is something that they can do at home, a resource that parishes can offer their parents to help continue catechesis at home. So there's lots of opportunities like that also. Anyone who's interested in that can reach out to us at Buzzati or through our Facebook page, and we can get that information.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I'm so excited. So don't you? All that you've done is such a gift to bring this to life and to create it. So we will find out more. And the website, littlesaintadventures.com, is how we can sign up and get started.
Yeah, or you can just search us in the App Store. Or the Google Play Store. Just go directly.
Mm-hmm. Of course. You got it. Okay. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you so much. And I am going to be watching for the St. Michael land world to be opening up. You've got a fan in us already here. Thank you.
It's awesome. Thank you so much. Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future.
Romans 12:12, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I know over the years, over 150 plus shows we've done, a recurring theme has been time, the blessing of it, the challenge of it. And even though that idea of complete balance, I think, is very fleeting and not something that I'm even trying to achieve at this point, I do want to try to at least honor God with the minutes that I have, the hours. And it just seems like it is a constant battle. And I recently ran across an article that I thought would be a good conversation to bring this up again. And the customary time to take inventory of our priorities, our life, and always, always without fail that happens, at least on this program, usually is during Advent and Lent, the new year. But as my husband and I sit down every week, we go over our calendar, we got to do the planner teamwork. I can see this seasonal stress that creeps into our schedules and being stretched, multiple things happening at once. But I know too that it's not just us with school age kids. I was talking to my brother about this. He is single. He's 40 plus, a corporate guy, never been married. And we were just talking about this. He was saying, why am I always in a hurry? So I wanted to ask you the question based on an article, and I'm going to read a few excerpts from this. It's from The Economist. It says, why is everyone so busy? Time poverty is a problem, partly of perception, partly of distribution. And it's actually a quite lengthy article that really looks at sociology and culture and the whole study of why our economy is the way it is as well, and leisure time and all of that. So I'm not going to unpack all of those factors, but we know it's part of the recipe in this dish. So I'm just going to jump in on a few areas. In one paragraph, it says, the explosion of available goods has only made time feel more crunched, as the struggle to choose what to buy or watch or eat or what to do raises the opportunity cost of leisure. For example, choosing one thing comes at the expense of choosing another and contributes to feelings of stress. The endless possibilities afforded by a simple internet connection boggle the mind. When there are so many ways to fill one's time, so many things to buy and engage with, it's only natural to crave more of it. The ability to satisfy desires instantly also breeds impatience, fueled by a nagging sense that one could be doing so much else. People visit websites less often if they are more than 250 milliseconds slower than a close competitor. According to research from Google, when experiences can be calculated according to the utility of a millisecond, all seconds are more anxiously judged for their utility. New technologies such as email and smartphones exacerbate this impatience and anxiety. Email etiquette often necessitates a response within 24 hours, with a general understanding that sooner is better. Managing this constant and mounting demand often involves switching tasks or multitasking, and the job never quite feels done. Multitasking is what makes us feel pressed for time, says Elizabeth Dunn. She's a psychology professor. No matter what people are doing, people feel better when they're focused on that activity. And so through this article, it unpacks, and I'll link it up in the show note, it unpacks this notion of feeling like we have to do things at all costs. Then it goes into the mother. So I definitely want to zero in on that. Read this and see if you agree. It says the rise in female employment also seems to have coincided or precipitated a similar steep rise in standards for what it means to be a good parent and especially a good mother. Niggling feelings of guilt and ambivalence over working outside the home, together with some social pressures, compel many women to try to fulfill idealized notions of motherhood. The struggle to have it all creates a sense, a need, a compulsion to always be building, going, doing, achieving. So I find that is really interesting. And I want to juxtapose it to something that I heard from Father Leo Clifford. Because as I think about my own busyness, is there an element of lack of trust that God is going to take my efforts and perfectly apply them to what needs to be done? Consider this. Our Lord came here to show us how to live. And His standards are so different than ours. He spent 30 of his 33 years in a remote corner of an obscure land. His life was unseen, unknown, and largely unrecorded from birth to 33. He came to show us how to live. With 30 years of inactivity, by our standards anyway, between 30 and 33, Alexander the Great had conquered the East. By 28, Napoleon had become a world power. And at 33, our Lord, by our standards, had really not achieved much. He chose a life of quiet work and to be the object of indifference and superficiality and scorn. But He lived His life for us, and He is an example. So just something to ponder. I know that is a deep thought. And our lives are so full of mitigating factors, of complications. I've learned that every step of the way, that there is rarely one general broad brushstroke that I could make and paint a picture for everybody. But I know for me that if it causes me to stop and recollect myself, my priorities on a daily basis, how I'm living out my vocation, that it's always a good thing. So I found a couple quick tip takeaways of how you can create more time in your day. And these are so super practical that I'm dedicating them to my husband because he loves things that are just short and sweet. So I'm going to zip through the list. Number one, don't answer calls from unknown callers. Oh, I love this. Unless you're working in telesales or product support, there's no real reason you should take a call from someone you don't know. Put your email address in your outgoing voicemail. Oh, I like that. If it's important, they'll email you. If it's not important, you just save time. Reduce your incoming voicemail. Listening to a voicemail message consumes minutes of your time. Explain in your outgoing message that you seldom use voicemail and suggest the caller email you if they leave a message. Turn off your automated alerts. Anytime you interrupt a project to answer a quick email, text, or comment, it breaks your momentum. If you read the book Deep Work, it's so true. Just when you study brain science, how this works, track your time for a week. For an entire week, really, truly try to write how much time you're spending doing different tasks. And once you realize where you're spending your time, then you can assess and determine where you're wasting it. And the final PS that I would add would be to build in sacred moments. And even if that's literally 10 minutes, getting up 10 minutes earlier, a friend of mine was sharing she has a tea kettle. And for her, the sound of the tea kettle and the invitation to what I would almost describe as the liturgy of the ordinary takes some time and to be slow, to steep, you know, just like the tea bag steeps, to steep in those moments of getting her tea ready, sitting down, reading the scripture readings for the day. For me, I love the sound of a clock when the house is quiet, which is rare, but when it is, and I'm so bummed because our clock is broken, but we had one where we could hear it ticking, and there was something about that quiet ticking in the silent house that just calmed me. I really like, maybe for you, it's lighting a candle or taking a bath at the end of the week, but I would add that as a little PS too, that it allows us to just exhale and spend some sacred seconds. thinking about our days.
Hi, God bless you.
And with that, that's my cue. My time's up. That's my sweet boy, Gus. God bless you, and thank you for being a part of episode number 153. Again, thank you to my guest, Malia Ullery. And don't forget to download her awesome new app. It's called Little Saint Adventures. Would love your feedback. What are your thoughts? Do you have any takeaways about time? Feedback at goodthingsradio.com is how you can reach out. Also, Voxer. You can find me at Brooke Taylor, Brooke with an E, Brooke Taylor, and the number one. And all of that will be linked up in our show notes. A big thank you to our Podbean patrons who faithfully support our program. If you like what you hear, if you want to support the work of Good Things Radio and St. Gabriel Media, click on the link to become a GTR good friend of the show and also sign up for our newsletter. A big thank you to my producer, Mark Cumming, for his dynamic skills and quick work. Mark is a producer extraordinaire. So for any media needs you may have, check them out at cominghomestudio.com. And as we wrap up, thinking about Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a future and a hope. May we rest in that truth today, friends. God bless you. Until next time, peace and love.